Hour number two on this Tuesday. Happy to have you guys involved in the proceedings here on 104.5 The Zone. Buck Rising here with you until 1 o'clock. Lucas Panzeca is making it happen behind the scenes, and we are getting ready to embrace debate as it regards what's happening in the NFL right now. We'll have our high school football hero, DCA quarterback Bradford Gaines, at 11:45, so make sure that you're sticking around for that. A lot of fun contests happening in the Tennessee high school football world as you get closer and closer to the state championship game. Very exciting stuff and a lot of different they're not conferences, Lucas. Divisions? What do I call them?
Yeah, D1 is the public school, 1A through 6A. D2 is private school.
You know how insane that drives me?
It's pretty complicated in Tennessee.
I don't understand, and I understand. You've explained this to me multiple times. Of course, Lucas is on the call for the 104.5 The Zone High School Game of the Week, which will be where this weekend?
This week we're at Page High School, 5A semifinals, taking on Henry County. Patriots on Patriots this Friday.
What Thanksgiving break, I would add. But I would say to you that, yeah, it drives me insane. I understand there's a different division for Catholics or private schools. I understand there's a different division for public schools, and I get all that, right?
Well, they used to all be together.
Well, I know. That's how Indiana does it, and that's why I'm made insane by this, because it seems wildly overly complicated. Regardless, Bradford Gaines will be our guest at 11:45, so stick around for that. In the meantime, I want to talk about something completely and totally asinine, shall we? I have watched back the Colts and the Bills game in Buffalo this weekend because I'm preparing to do the podcast with Greg Cosell tomorrow. So I'm watching it back, the 33-minute condensed version on Game Pass. And I am well aware of what Jonathan Taylor did this weekend, what he has done this season, and how little Carson Wentz is having to do as a result. Now the Colts over 500, 6-5, and they're not dead yet. You may have killed them within the division, but it doesn't mean that they can't find their way into a wild card spot and make your life a living hell this coming January. But after he has five total touchdowns, Jonathan Taylor, that is, in Buffalo this past week, I saw a couple of tweets that bothered me. I saw a tweet from Peter Schrager, who does sidelines for Fox and also is one of the hosts of the very successful Good Morning Football show on NFL Network. I saw this man, whom I greatly respect, whose football knowledge and intellect is among the best in the of the best. I saw this man tweet out, "Is Jonathan Taylor the MVP of the NFL? And my blood pressure did things that it hasn't done since God knows when." Nothing, I don't know, and I don't know why I became so angry at this, because it affects my personal life, none. But what I was angry for, and who I was angry for, was you and Derrick Henry. I was angry for you, wherever you're listening to this, and I was angry for Derrick Henry. Because how in the hell is a running back like Jonathan Taylor, who, by the way, is hugely impressive, I'm a big fan of his game, why are you going to make me hate this? Because now a legitimate conversation and discussion, whether the conversation itself is legitimate, is a completely other matter. But legitimate people are having a dumb discussion about Jonathan Taylor being the NFL MVP, and it makes me want to smash my head into this console.
Say that to me. Say that to anybody. Say it to somebody.
I dare you. Thank you, Mad Dog Russo. He's had a couple of really good rants lately. We may have to mine that for audio gold. He's been on his game with this vaccination stuff in New York. He's been great. But what I had sent to me about this, which is a completely reasonable conversation, if Derrick Henry can't get any MVP votes, Derrick Henry didn't have a single MVP vote last season. You know how stupid that is?
For the offensive player of the year in the AFC?
No, MVP vote.
No, I'm saying how for the offensive player of the
year. It is asinine, yes. It is completely and totally ridiculous that Derrick Henry did not get a single solitary MVP vote. If Derrick Henry can rush for 2,000 yards and be on an 11-win division winner last season, not get a single MVP vote, then you can send this Jonathan Taylor conversation straight into the sun. It belongs nowhere close. I understand that Lamar Jackson has experienced some stumbles and did miss a game on Sunday. And he's been kind of unhealthy in the last couple of years, not just COVID. I don't know what he's dealing with lately, but it's enough to keep him out of this past game against the Detroit. No, they didn't play the Detroit Lions. They played the Chicago Bears. Either way, the Bears suck. But even still, Lamar's backup was able to beat the Bears. I understand that Dak has experienced some up and downs. Brady looked great last night. I don't think he's sweating it. He's probably going to win most valuable player again because everything else around him is going straight to hell.
Dual threat.
And who got more excited for him to convert that third down with his legs last night? You or him or America?
Or Peyton Manning.
Peyton's watching these games disgusted. Peyton is doing the Manning cast of Tom Brady's games, just legitimately upset because as close to Tom Brady has been to legitimately hurdling another NFL athlete, he did it last night. He got off the ground and ran for, what was it, like 7 yards, 6 yards?
Yeah, it was a first down run. It was a good run.
I got up off my couch and I fist pumped.
Just like him.
Yeah. Why? There's no reason for me to do that. I'm like, hell yeah, old man. What are you talking about? Why do I care that Tom Brady just scrambled for a third down? And he made a face and he let out a scream like he just won his 8th Super Bowl. It's so stupid. MVP of the league, clearly and obviously. Brady, I'll take. I will not hear this Jonathan Taylor conversation. You've got to be kidding me with this stuff. How are Titans fans experiencing this? I want to know. 615-737-1045. Because smart people are having a really, really dumb conversation right now about Jonathan Taylor, the Colts running back, being not just an MVP candidate, but I'm reading a Yahoo Sports column right now about him being the front runner. Stop the madness. I beg of you. Why, when the most important and best running back in the NFL in the last, what, 4 seasons? Why, when he is unavailable for the remainder of time that Derrick Henry misses, why does it take this for you to start suddenly caring about running backs again? Why? Why is the Titans season over, Stephen A., because Derrick Henry's done for the year, when all you've done is drown me? Drown me and everybody listening to this in the idea that running backs don't matter. Oh, you know what? Bleep you, Titans fans. Jonathan Taylor for MVP. What? What are we talking about here? It almost makes me feel like it's being done intentionally. Like that people see how pissed off. There's not many of them. Comparative to other NFL fan bases. But Titans fans get so pissed at this kind of stuff that I feel like it's just done to intentionally whack the beehive and stir up engagement. Because this, I don't normally get upset about these kind of things because I don't care about lists and rankings and all of these things that are set into the universe and don't actually matter. But this one actually pissed me off. There's no grounds for this conversation to be had. And yet here we are, spending 11 minutes on a Tuesday talking about it. 615-737-1045 is the number. As a Titans fan, how are you experiencing this late campaign for Jonathan Taylor, the Colts running back, as MVP of the league? Let's go to Andy in Hendersonville up first. What's up, Andy?
What up, Buck? Got a baby. All right, now, Jonathan Taylor, good running back. No Heisman, no 2,000-yard rushing season, no playoff wins, if I'm correct on that. You might have to check me. But at the same time, kid's a good back, but he's no Derrick Henry. Talking about him in the fifth spot for the MVP is ridiculous. The guy just caught up to Derrick Henry. Yeah, we can talk about the 8-man in the box. We can talk about, you know, the amount of carries that he's got. The fact of the matter is that Derrick Henry carries the damn team. All right? That's the most valuable player in the league. I'm going to hang up and listen.
Thanks. Thanks for the call, Andy. And listen, this isn't even like this isn't even me advocating for Derek, because I think the argument for Derek is honestly a little flawed in and of itself. Like, I'm not out here pounding the table for Derek as MVP and Jonathan Taylor is not, right? I'm saying if Derek can't be the MVP, then neither can Jonathan Taylor. There are so many more impressive things that I've seen Derek. Do you know how much, and again, nobody cares to hear me complain about my job covering live sports for a living. It is stupid that I'm paid to do what I do and how my mortgage gets paid, right? Like, nobody wants to hear me complain. But you know how much less fun the experience is? I don't have to tell you, I feel like. Do you know how much less fun the experience is without a player like Derrick Henry that you're covering on a week-to-week basis, on what you're watching? When A.J. Brown isn't all the way back to where he needs to be and where Julio Jones is unavailable, the one thing that I've consistently been able to rely upon for game-changing plays that make you put your keyboard down or your pen down or whatever and make you sit there and watch from the press box like, oh my God, he's doing it again. There is not a player like that at that position anywhere else in the NFL. And I will not hear this conversation about Jonathan Taylor unless you want to make it, and then we can argue together. 615-737-1045. I'm Buck Rising. More of your calls next on 104.5 The Zone.
Tannehill gives Henry on the right side. There he goes. 25-30, 35-40, 50-40, 30-20, 10-5, end zone. Ladies and gentlemen, 76 yards. Derrick Henry, touchdown, Titans.
God, it's been so long since I've heard a Titans game sound like that. That's Mike Keith, Coach Mack, Titans Radio on the call of what an actual MVP candidate at running back sounds like, boys and girls. We're playing that for you because this situation surrounding Jonathan Taylor, I feel like it's, I don't want to say it's unfair to Jonathan Taylor because he deserves attention for what he's doing. He's been so, so good. And by the way, like, efficiency-wise, Jonathan Taylor has been better than Derrick Henry on a per-play efficiency basis. But no one changes the game quite like Derrick does from that position. So when we argue, and we will argue, it would seem, based on my call screener, because the lines are loaded, and if you want to get in, 615-737-1045, it's why this feels like almost a troll. If you're somebody who covers this team like I do, or somebody who's a fan of this team like you are, that Derrick Henry has to, I mean, people like me have to scream about this on any platform that's available to us, so much so that we sound like just blatant homers for what Derrick Henry is, instead of just being like, hey, you idiots, watch this man, and then let the play speak for itself, instead of just, I mean, that was the 76-yarder against the Bills, right? That was on Monday Night Football. That's when that conversation got started, because people just happen to have him on their television screens instead of actually seeking it out and doing the analysis for themselves. Now, this is a funny name on the call screener. It's Jonathan Schaefer, but it's not the Zone's Jonathan Schaefer. This one is in Gallatin. Hello, Jonathan.
Hello, hello.
How are you, bud?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm well. What you got for me?
Well, as a fellow Hoosier myself, I'm a little disappointed in the hate in Jonathan Taylor.
No, don't mistake me. I'm not hating on Jonathan Taylor. I enjoy Jonathan Taylor. I think ridiculous that he's being discussed as an MVP.
Right, but here's my thing. Without Jonathan Taylor, how many games do the Colts win?
Oh, God. I mean,
legitimately.
I don't know how to do that analysis, you know what I'm saying? Because he's on their team. Like, I don't know how to do that, you know what I'm saying?
Right. So, just guessing, I would say probably three, because that would be relying on Carson Wentz to do everything. If Derrick Henry, now we all thought that the Titans weren't going to win without Derrick Henry. Lo and behold, what did they do?
No, they have won two games and lost one.
Right. And had a chance to multiple chances to win in Houston if the quarterback wouldn't have thrown four picks.
Correct.
So, My thing is, I understand Derrick Henry had a big year, and yes, he deserved at least one MVP voting last year. Yes. But there are two people, two running backs in the NFL right now. There used to be only one. Now there's definitely two that is a complete game changer. Jonathan Taylor is just as quick. Jonathan Taylor bulldozes people just as much. And to be quite honest, Jonathan Taylor has just as good as a stiff arm. So what does Derrick Henry do better right now than Jonathan Taylor?
I would say to you that the stiff arm comparison, I think that you're leaning into that a little more than you deserve to, buddy.
But it's good.
It doesn't suck. Listen, I don't want this to sound like I hate Jonathan Taylor. I don't hate Jonathan Taylor. He's just not Derrick.
He just put over 200 total yards against the number 10 ranked rushing defense and the number 4 ranked
passing defense.
Buddy,
I watched the game. I'm aware of what Jonathan Taylor did on Sunday. 5 total touchdowns, 204 total yards. He was a monster. I'm not saying that he's not a great player. I'm saying that it's stupid that people are talking about MVP when you have to pull teeth to get them to look at Derrick Henry. It's ridiculous.
I'm on that. I'm saying that Derrick Henry should have probably won it last year, at least got some votes. The same thing applies right now with Jonathan Taylor. What you are seeing right now with Jonathan Taylor is somebody that is taking a whole entire team and making every single player better.
I will take your analysis and we will move on. Thank you for the call, Jonathan, because here's what I'll say to you about the difference, because he's asking me the difference, and I don't drop him because I don't want to argue anymore, just that I think that had run its course. And what I'm going to say, I think, is accurate. I think that offensive line has played really, really well at this point in ways that I have not seen the Titans efficiently run block outside of the Houston game in quite some time. Like, you see what the Titans run, and again, I'm not saying that Adrian Peterson is as good or anywhere close to Derrick Henry. In fact, I think that they should do what they can to get to lower his usage rate and find ways to use the other two, Dontrell Hilliard and Deontay Foreman. And frankly, just decide upon one and figure out your change of pace back after the fact. I'm not intrigued by the Adrian Peterson experience, even though he didn't get as many, or he got the most carries. He had the most rushing yards on Sunday again for the Titans. What I'm saying is, The Titans' running game is Derrick. Jonathan Taylor is a good player. He may be a great player, but his offensive line in front of him is playing lights out right now, and that is not something that you can say about the Tennessee Titans very much, if at all, this season because of health and a great many other reasons. I'm trying to be respectful of Jonathan Taylor and also be upset at this conversation because he is a great player. He's so much fun to watch. I'm a fan of Jonathan Taylor's game, but it's not singular in the way that Derrick Henry is. It's simply not. Let's go to James in Cookeville up next on Jonathan Taylor. What's up, James?
I can describe this conversation in 3 words, and I told him I'd keep it clean, so it's male bovine excrement.
It's beautiful. James, why are they doing this to me? I don't want to fight. I don't want to have this fight, and people are making me have this fight.
It's simple. The national football media crowned everyone but the Titans as being the best team of the AFC this year. Now they have to justify why. And last year, it was because nobody watched the Titans. They weren't expecting much out of the Titans. Then when the Titans showed up, they had to come up with some reason to disrespect the Titans because they just don't like the Titans. They don't like us. They're not going to like us. They're never going to like us. We're going to get a few that'll come out and say, oh, the Titans are doing good. Just like right now, I think we should have Coach of the Year. From what we've done with the injuries we've had, the number of players, 84 players that we've played this year, 84. The most in the NFL.
And listen, 85 is the record. They're about to break that easily on Sunday, James, against the Patriots. I'd take the over on that.
And that's the reason why. They don't want to give us credit for anything. We have the Coach of the Year. Vrabel is the Coach of the Year, regardless of what the media votes. And it's, I mean, you lose a Hall of Fame wide receiver, you lose A.J. Brown for weeks at a time, and you still win? You lose half. You lose all of your starting wide receivers at some point during the season, and you still win. And you.
Wait, did you just try and fade and rack him at the same time? What happened there? I'm sorry, James. Lucas felt that you were getting redundant, but your point is well made. Your point is well made. What happened? Could you not figure out the?
That's the respectful fade.
Oh, that's the. So you hit him on the front end. It's like you whacked him with a hammer, and then you sent him into the abyss.
It's a good whack.
That's so rude of you. Yeah, I mean, listen, James is making all good points. It's just he made him a couple times. I will say to you this, that, it's not like people don't like watching the Titans, that like watching football, okay? That's basically my takeaway about what James is describing with ESPN and CBS and all these different places. And if you want to jump in on this conversation, by the way, we're talking about Jonathan Taylor's traction for MVP when there was just none for Derrick Henry for basically 6 weeks. The number is 615-737-1045. What James is saying is that they found ways to win and that people don't like the Titans. Now, what I'll say to you is people don't like going out of their way to watch the Titans. Like, I'm talking to a friend of mine who does some work, independent contracting work for ESPN. And I'm talking to him at this Titans-Texans game pregame before kickoff. And what he's talking to me about is, you know, this is the best team in the AFC. And they don't have anybody here but me, who's basically, you know, not part-time covering it, but just here to gather some B-roll so that we have something to run on our air for SportsCenter. They would never do this to the Patriots. And basically my response was like, yeah, but I mean, this is how it goes. Like, I'm not upset about it because I understand that this is the thing. But he's absolutely correct. It's not interesting enough for the people who decide what's interesting on a day-to-day basis, large scale, for them to cover the way that they cover other NFL teams. And frankly, that includes the Colts, which is why this is such an interesting, I don't know if you want to call it psychological way to analyze this as to why one small market team is more interesting than the other when the other has been decidedly better, consistently better. I don't get what the Colts' obsession is, because there is some of that. But like, we have smart people on this radio show all the time, right? That is something that we strive to bring you. Whether it's Mina Kimes, who is one of the best analysts talking about football right now, because Mina doesn't just do takes. Mina is deriving her analysis, her fact-based analysis, off of the tape, off of the film. We do the same thing when we play those Greg Cosell clips for you off of the podcast that Greg and I do every week, because it's smart, it's real. It's not giving you an opinion and then letting you generate your own opinion off of it. That's my job. I'm the talking head in this situation. What we give to you with our guests is people who are going to tell you, no, this is what's actually happening. This is what's taking place on the field of play. And then you can derive your own opinions as a result of the information that they've just now given you. It's a difference between information and hot take. And I can't stand when people blur the lines between that stuff. 615-737-1045. Let's go to Trent in Hendersonville, who's up next. What's up, Trent?
Hey, how's it going, Buck?
It's going great, buddy.
You know, I guess a couple of things with this whole argument between Jonathan Taylor and Derrick Henry. It took Jonathan Taylor, what, 2.5 games to even pass Derrick Henry in rushing yards?
Yes.
After Derrick Henry went down. And I know you talk about the efficiency, and people want to talk about, you know, Henry's lack of efficiency versus Jonathan Taylor in the argument. But doesn't Derrick Henry face a stacked box at a higher rate than any other running back in the league? I was looking at Football Outsiders statistics the other day, and they had Derrick Henry facing a stacked box 37% of the time that he runs.
It's crazy.
I think Jonathan
Taylor
was down at 24% or so. And, you know, you might look at 13% and think, 13% is a huge deal. That's I don't know. I think Derrick Henry is just I think because he's not on the field and he's not being seen, people are looking at Taylor and wanting to make that comparison. But when Derrick Henry's on the field, there's not another running back that compares.
Yeah, I mean, and I appreciate the call, Trent. That's why I think that this is such a hamster wheel type of conversation, right? Because I'm not trying to make the argument for Derrick at this point. It's not going to happen. If it was going to happen, it would have happened last season with Derrick Henry as a legitimate MVP. And you know what happened instead? The 50 people that vote on this, there's 50 people, tastemakers, if you want to call them that, in the NFL. 50 people across NFL media and across the sport that decide offensive player of the year, defensive player of the year, rookie of the year, and NFL MVP among the rest of the awards that are given away at the Super Bowl or before the Super Bowl each and every year. And when those 50 people vote on this, they're voting on who they've seen and who's been in front of them at any given point. And not a one of those 50 people voted for the running back of the Tennessee Titans in 2020 as the NFL MVP when he's only one of eight human beings ever to eclipse 2,000 yards rushing in an NFL season. And all of a sudden we're in week 12, and Jonathan Taylor has a performance that maybe not everybody sees because it's a midday game on CBS, but it was one of the bigger, more impactful games of the weekend, so there was good coverage of it. There was a lot of scrutiny on it, and ultimately it ended up being the Colts dummying the Buffalo Bills, who there's some kind of perception that are still good. Like Lucas is arguing with me that not arguing with me this morning, but you seem kind of like not dejected, but surprised that I would exclude the Bills from being legitimate threats to the Titans in the AFC right now.
No, I was just marveling, saying, I can't believe that we put out that poll and the Bills aren't even in it, because for the last 3-4 weeks, the Bills have been at the top. It just speaks to what the AFC has been this season.
They took themselves out of it. Right? I didn't do it to them.
I agree with you. I was just almost stepping back and marveling at the fact that they have been in that type of free fall.
So that's all it takes. It's apparent. Okay, so here's what it takes for you to be an MVP candidate, right? Derrick Henry beats the holy hell out of the Bills. Everybody thinks the Bills are good. Derrick Henry for MVP. Jonathan Taylor beats the holy hell out of the Buffalo Bills. It's not a Monday night football game. It's not a primetime game, but everybody watches it. Everybody sees it, or at least sees the highlights. Jonathan Taylor for MVP. In order to be an MVP, you just got to beat the Bills, apparently. That's how we're doing. Honestly, you know what this reminds me of? And it's why I'm so upset about this. It reminds me of the College Football Playoff Committee. This thing makes absolutely no sense, and it's just some dude on a television screen across from Reese Davis telling me why Cincinnati can win all of its games, and it just doesn't matter. Pisses me off.
Bill Saints on Thanksgiving, Taysom Hill, MVP.
Ugh. I hate. These awards are too dumb for the world that we live in right now when everybody else has the information at their disposal. Used to be not to do like a back in my day bit, but like we would just take the gospel of NFL MVP down from on high from Peter King and Troy Aikman. And if Peyton Manning was the MVP, then by God, it's because they said so. Now we got everybody else looking at Football Outsiders and Next Gen Stats and all of the information that's publicly available. So you're as smart as the people who are voting on this. And you realize, yeah, the awards have gotten too dumb for the amount of analysis that we have at our disposal to pick these arguments apart. Drives me crazy. Zach is in Hawaii up next on 104.5 The Zone. What's up, Zach?
Hey, how's it going, Buck?
It's going great.
So I did some research in the bowels of NFL.com, and I got a comment I'd like to make on Tannehill. I know I might be late. You were talking about it yesterday. But only two quarterbacks in the NFL have four wide receivers or tight ends that have had 100-yard games, and Tannehill's one of them, the other one being Buffalo. And I feel that speaks to what Ryan Tannehill has had to overcome. He's had A.J. Brown, half of A.J. Brown for half the games, it feels like. Hasn't had Julio, but he had a 100-yard game in Seattle. The other one was Marcus Johnson and then Nick Westbrook-Ikhina this past Sunday. So I feel like he's getting it done. I mean, even Patrick Mahomes only has three, Kelce, Hill, and I think their running back had a 100-yard receiving game a few weeks ago. So, I mean, he's getting production. It's just the bad game that he had was clearly a communication breakdown on multiple stages. I mean, any job where it's, you know, a very complex, sophisticated, high-stress job, when communication breaks down, I mean, even in your job, if your microphone is plugged into the export instead of the input button, you're going to have a rough show. Like, the attention to detail for communication is very key, and I don't really blame Tannehill. I blame the offensive coordinator. You've got to have good communication, just even if it's with your third, fourth, fifth, and sometimes sixth-string wide receiver.
Thanks for the call, Zach. I mean, yeah, I said this yesterday, right? Like, Tannehill's season is not summarized by that one game yesterday. And when you talk about things that you would have to overcome, because I know for certain, if you remove Jonathan Taylor from the Indianapolis Colts situation, that Carson Wentz and the things that he gets away with in real time, inexplicably. Like, Carson Wentz plays a more reckless style of football than Ryan Tannehill by a mile, and somehow the turnover luck has gone in their favor for really the majority of the year, because there have been some reckless Wentz plays. I'm not saying that Ryan Tannehill hasn't had some reckless plays of his own, but in order to stay aggressive without your best options on the field, there has to be some of that. The four interceptions, I'm not pinning all of that on Tannehill, nor should you. Just as the defense being god-awful last year was not all on Shane Bowen, the Titans' offensive struggles this year are not solely predicated or involved surrounding Ryan Tannehill. Let's go to Michael in Nashville up next on 104.5 The Zone. What's up, Michael?
Pretty good. How about you?
I'm doing great.
All right, so this is ludicrous to think Jonathan Taylor has any sort of MVP votes coming his way. Last year, Henry was the offensive player of the year and had zero votes. That is ludicrous. And then to think that there's probably still three other running backs in the NFL that are probably better than Jonathan Taylor, in my opinion, which is Kamara, Nick Chubb, and Dalvin Cook. So if you're not even top five in your position, there's no way you're going to get an MVP vote.
Thanks for the call, Michael. That's what I'm saying. Like, I don't know that this dude even gets a vote, which is why this is so irritating of a conversation. But we'll take a quick break from that. We'll circle back around to talking about the AFC in the final hour and get into a little bit of Tennessee Vanderbilt talk as well. But when we come back, our high school football hero of the week, DCA quarterback Bradford Gaines, is going to join us, and we'll talk about what DCA is doing en route to try and further their position in the Tennessee high school football playoffs thus far. That's up next. I'm Buck Rising. This is 104.5 The Zone. High school football playoffs have been a lot of fun in the state of Tennessee. We're going to be able to do this high school football hero segment for just a little while longer, and we're happy to have on DCA quarterback Bradford Gaines, who is this week's high school football hero. What's going on, stud?
Not much. How about yourself?
Man, we're doing okay. So you guys roll this weekend in the semifinals, and I had like a double take when I looked at your stat line, Bradford. 14 of 17 for 343 and three touchdowns. That's some pretty effective efficiency, I would say, in the passing game.
Yeah, but that's really all on everybody else. So they make my job really easy. You know, my offensive line blocked incredible, and you got guys like Dayton Steed who can catch three passes and get 179 yards just like that, or however many he had. And then Nacho getting a million yards. It's really easier on me than everybody thinks.
No, listen, if you're a quarterback, yards after contact, yards after the catch, they're your best friend. There's no question about it. But you guys as a team are playing really high-level football right now. What's this run? I know it's not quite finished yet, and you'll have some time to collect yourselves on this bye week before you guys get ready to square off again against Nashville Christian. But what's this ride been kind of like for you guys throughout the course of the season?
I mean, it's been like a dream. It really has. seen a lot of success. You know, halfway through the year, we took a loss, but it was a good time for it, you know. It was a good time to get our butts kicked. We learned a lot about ourselves and got focused on the right track because, you know, for a time there, we got confident and, like, we could just roll into any place and expect a win, and it was just easy as that. So, you know, we're really grateful for that loss, really, but the season as a whole is just – it's been everything we hoped for. I mean, minus one game, which hopefully that comes on in the next 2 weeks. But, I mean, we're just really happy with how the season's gone. We're having a great time.
DCA quarterback Bradford Gaines is with us here on 104.5 The Zone. So, outside of screwing around on the radio, Bradford, my full-time job is covering the Titans, and they are coming off a mid-season loss of their own. And something that you've just spoken to with how grounding losses like that can be for your team and how they can kind of be rallying points throughout the stretch of the season, I think is something that translates from, you know, Cub football all the way up to the professionals. I imagine that's something that you got to keep with you as you roll along, especially at your position.
Oh, no doubt. I mean, it's always, always really, really important to stay humble and know that no team is a cakewalk, whether they're 0-10 or 10-0, you know, no team is a cakewalk. You can lose any given day for high schoolers, any given Friday, you know, Titans, any given Sunday, Thursday, Monday, whatever. And
you got all the football days. I counted. You got them all.
Yeah. it's just really good to be humble and take every opponent seriously, because then I find that more often than not, you end up coming out with what you were hoping for.
And it drives me crazy as a media member because, you know, humble doesn't always make for the best quotes, but it does make for the best winning mentality as a football team. So you guys are going to face, again, your region rival, Nashville Christian. You got the state championship game coming up in Chattanooga on December the 2nd. I imagine it's going to look a little different from the first time that you guys played when you were slogging it out in the mud. What makes Nashville Christian such a tough opponent?
You got Josh Strickland. He's just an incredible athlete. I mean, I give so much props to him. He is an incredible player, even on the defensive side. You know, everybody knows him for his offense, but he's just an athlete, so he can go out there and make plays on defense. So, you know, we're expecting a lot of him. He's going to run the ball as tough as he ever does. But, you know, hopefully with it actually being sunny this time and we get good weather, they'll come out. We've talked about them passing the ball too, because they've passed the ball a lot recently here in these past couple games. So they get that going. I mean, they're a tough team to beat just running the ball. If they can get it firing on both cylinders, and, you know, that's a tough challenge. Hopefully we can come out and really stick it to them and play the way I know we can play and the rest of the team knows we can play.
So, I mean, you've played both ways at several points. Is there anything that helps you as a quarterback from being a two-way player and understanding how opposing offenses are thinking about things on the other side of the ball when you're out there on defense?
I'll tell you, just so much is practicing with our guys, you know, our own practices every day and learning what if I'm running the scout team quarterback just to get extra throws in with those scout team players, you know, just to learn even what they do and the calls they make and what are they going to do in cover two, kind of tendencies that might translate to what Nashville Christian could do. You know, it all correlates. I like going against my own defense and just learning that. It's definitely helpful because a lot of these high school guys, you know, they do the same thing. So it's good to know all that.
DCA quarterback Bradford Gaines has been our Tennessee high school football hero of the weekend after his big performance in the semifinals. This weekend, a week off, a much-needed bye, I'm sure, before you guys get ready to play your state championship game. This has been a lot of fun, Bradford. We appreciate you stopping by, and continued health and success as the state championship game gets closer.
Yes, sir. I appreciate it.
That is Bradford Gaines, our guest here on 104.5 The Zone. I like him. He was really getting into it, I felt like. Yeah, I tell you what.
Might have a future.
Tell me, for our gig?
Yeah, doing what we do.
Well, listen, you're getting enough years into this, Lucas, where you don't like that. You don't want to hear promising younger people than you doing things that you want to do or that you're doing currently. That's not good for you. So now you have to figure out ways to actively step on other people's necks so that you can maintain your position. This is Game of Thrones,
great,
basically.
Great lesson for playing. All the kids out there and all of, yeah, good stuff.
Where's the high school game of the week on 104.5 The Zone?
We're at Page High School. They are hosting the Henry County Patriots 5A semifinal. Two really good quarterbacks going head-to-head. For Page, Jake McNamara, Colorado State commit, talking a lot of rivalry week. His brother, Cade, is the current starting quarterback at Michigan, who will be hosting Ohio State in the Big House. But it's going to be fun. Page looking to get back to the state title game. Henry County hasn't done that in a very, very long time. As far as winning a state championship. So 7 o'clock kick, 6:30 pregame Friday.
Are you going to be able to call the state game? Are you guys going to do that?
For the TSSAA.
Spicy.
Yes, I will be there. I'll be doing the 6A game and the 2A game.
Okay. A lot of fun. Lucas Panzeca and Will Bowling on the call this Friday. When we come back, we're going to talk about some rivalries. We'll get back into this ridiculous Jonathan Taylor conversation. Your phone calls as well, and Ramon Foster. The big man is going to be here to probably try and piss off some Vanderbilt people. We'll do that in the final hour. That's up next. I'm Buck Rising. It is 104.5 The Zone.